All right, we begin here with the new Masechet Me'ilah. Me'ilah is a reference to a parshiyah that's found at the end of Parshat Vayikra, Vayikra Hey. There it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Nefesh ki tim'ol ma'al. And if an individual, then we have to define the word ma'al. Rashi claims that tim'ol ma'al or ma'al comes from the word shinui, to change. And that's what Rashi writes over here, in me'ilah, v'chol makom ela shinui. And he brings as an example the pasuk from Divrei Yamim, V'cheinu Omer, V'yim'alu belukei avotoihem, V'yiznu acharei Elohei ame'aret. V'cheinu Omer b'sota u'ma'al bo'mal. So Rashi quotes the word me'ilah as meaning shinui, a change, but there's clearly a negative association with that. The two examples that he brings are individuals who are rejecting that which they should have been attached to. In one case, it's Vayima'alu Belukei Avotehem, which is a reference to Bnei Yisrael rejecting Hashem, or exchanging Hashem for something else. And similarly, the Sota Uzuma'ala Bomal, it's a rejection of the husband, and exchanging him out someone else. So the Me'ilah is not simply a matter of change, it's change in a negative sense, where there's some sort of Begida, there's some sort of rejection, there's some sort of betrayal that is involved in the Me'ilah. And similarly, in the context of Hekdesh, Mi'ilah takes on that meaning. That is, it's both a change, but the change is a negative change in the sense that you're profaning that which is Hekdesh. You are betraying the holiness of the item, and thereby using it or utilizing it for your own benefit. And therefore, Mi'ilah has that negative association. The terminology that I always use to translate it is misappropriation. Because you're misusing the item that is otherwise dedicated to God, that is Hekdesh, and you're taking it for your own benefit, you're taking it to utilize it for something that is profane. That's the concept of Me'ilah, and that's what it says here, Ki tim'ol ma'al, v'chata bishkaga, and the person does it unintentionally, mikodshei Hashem. This is the hardest part to define here, because this defines what the Isser is, but that is mikodshei Hashem. It has to be something that is Kodesh LaHashem, and Kodesh LaHashem can manifest itself in many different ways. Kodesh LaHashem could be Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, something where your Makdish, the funds, whatever the asset is towards the upkeep of the Mikdash, to be utilized for, not directly on the Mizbeach, but for other things associated with the Mikdash. There you'll have Mi'ilah, if you misappropriate that item, because it belongs to Kodshei Hashem. It's part of the treasury of the Mikdash. It's part of those monies that are dedicated towards Hashem. There's also Kodshei Hashem, which are the Korbanot, items that are dedicated towards the Mizbeach, things that are going to be used in the Avodah to Hashem. There we have actually two categories, and within the categories we have subdivisions. One category is Kodshei Kalim. Kodshei Kalim are korbanot of what we call the lower echelon of korbanot, the shlamim, maser, pesach, bechor, todah, they're all kodshim kalim. There is no mi'ilah, because the kodshim kalim really belong to the ba'alim all the way along. They are dedicated to be put on the mizbeach, but even once they're put on the mizbeach, portion goes to the ba'alim, portion goes to the kohen, and a little bit of it goes to the mizbeach. That little bit that goes to the mizbeach is where there is mi'ilah, but that is only triggered once the individual does the zrikat adam. Until the zrikat adam, it doesn't have any elevated status of hekdesh. It cannot be, in a sense, profaned. There is no mi'ilah associated with it. Once you do the zrikat adam, then everything else is released to the kohanim, to the ba'alim, but the emurim then go to the mizbeach. Those emurim, when they go to the mizbeach, at that point in time, they can have mi'ilah associated with them, because that's called Kodshei Hashem. They will remain problematic until they are placed on the mizbeach, until the mitzvah is done with the item. On the other hand, you have Kodshei Kodashim, which has two categories to it. They're Kodshei Kodashim, where they are Kulo LaHashem. They are Kalil, like an Olah, which totally goes on the mizbeach. Every part of the animal is dedicated to Hashem. You also have the Parim Nisrafim, Sirim Nisrafim, which are the Parim Sirim Yom Kippurim, Parim Davashel Tzibor, the Sir Avodah Zarah. All those are Korbanot, whose entirety goes or is dedicated to Hashem. Those Korbanot, There is mi'ilah in them from the moment of Hekdesh until the mitzvah is completed. So from the moment a person dedicates those items to Hashem, they now take on the name of Kodshei Hashem. Therefore, there can be mi'ilah all the way until the time that they complete the mitzvah associated with those items. There are also other Kodshei Kodoshim, like a chatat, like an asham, whereby the entirety of the animal does not end up on the Mizbeach, but portion goes on the Mizbeach, portion goes to the Kohanim. In those Korbanot, they have Mi'ilah from the moment of Hekdesh, similar to the other Kodshei Kodashim. The only difference is at the point of Zrikat Adam. Once we had Zrikat Adam for these Kodshei Kodashim, then you have a bifurcation of the din. Those items that go to the Kohanim, they have what's called Heter LaKohanim. Since they've been Mutar to the Kohanim, they are now given to the Kohanim. They are no longer classified as Kodshei Hashem. Even though, or even if you believe that Kohanim Mishulchan Gavoa Koachli, they really are beneficiaries of the table of God, it's still not called Kodshei Hashem anymore because the Kohanim can't partake of it, and therefore it no longer will have Me'ilah. The items that go to the Mizbeach from that Korban of Kodshei Kodashim will retain their status of Kodshei Hashem until their mitzvah is completed. Those are the different areas where you can have mi'ilah. Mi'ilah by Bedek Abayit. You can have mi'ilah by Kodshei Kalim in a very narrow scope, which is from the point of Zrikat Adam, the Emurim that go on the Mizbeach until their mitzvah is done. By Kodshei Kodoshim, this is going to be a larger area of where you're going to have mi'ilah. There, from the moment of Hekdesh, there is mi'ilah. For those items that are Kulo Lashem, that will remain intact all the way until you do the mitzvah. For those items that are partially the Hashem, partially the Kohanim, at the moment of Zrikat Adam, those things that belong to the Kohanim or head to the Kohanim will not have any more Mi'ilah. Those items that continue to be Kodshei Hashem are those items that will go to the Mizbeach, and therefore you'll have Mi'ilah in those areas. The other thing to note is that the way one is Mo'el in Kodshei Hashem is that you have to get benefit from it. The threshold shi'ur of mi'ilah is a pruta. You have to get benefit of a pruta in order to be in violation of mi'ilah. The Gemara will divide up into two categories. It's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. We'll divide up into two categories the types of items where you can get benefit from them. There are items that are depreciable wasting assets. In that case, you actually have to depreciate the item by a pruta in order to be chayav in mi'ilah. There are other assets. Those are assets that do not depreciate. They're not wasting assets. Those are assets that have a longevity to them, a status quo to them. The example that the Mishnah and the Gemara brings all the time is a goblet that is made out of gold that belongs to the Mikdash or is used in the service in the Mikdash. That item, you could utilize it over and over again, and there's no really depreciation in the item. There's no change in the status of the item. There you have to get a pruta's worth of hana'ah from the item in order to be in violation of mi'ilah. With wasting assets, depreciating assets, there you'd actually have to utilize it to the point where you've now taken away, reduced it by a pruta's worth of value. So for instance, ochel, food. You'd have to eat a pruta's worth of food in order for you to be chayav in mi'ilah. If you have clothing, you'd have to wear the clothing to the point where they depreciate a pruta, or you get a pruta's worth of hana'ah in the item. So those are things that are davar sheish bo pagam, items where you can depreciate them, lower the value of them. There you'd have to actually do that in order to be chayav in mi'ilah. There are other assets where there's no pagam, where they are static assets. There you just have to get hana'ah from them. That's also an important aspect of mi'ilah. Mi'ilah also involves a unique status within the Averot of the Torah, and that is that it is one of the few Averot where there is what's called Shliach L'Dvar Avera. In general, the Gemara in Kedushin establishes that there is no such thing as Shliach L'Dvar Avera, because we invoke the principle, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishomim. We have a choice between listening to the master, or listening to the student or the slave. Who do you listen to? Of course you listen to the master. So then when you're faced with the choice of listening to God, who said this is problematic, and listening to some human being who says, do this, you have to opt to listen to Hashem and not to that individual. For that reason, we don't have shlichut, We don't have any type of agency by Avera, because we always assume that the individual performing the Avera should have listened to God and not to the person who was telling him to do otherwise. Divrei Arav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishomim, and therefore there's no din of Shliach L'Dvar Avera. You're not responsible on an Avera level. You are not the principal, and therefore you will not be in violation of that Avera that the person performs. But there is a separate restriction of Lifnei Iver Lo Titei Mikshol, that you can't cause someone to stumble and do an Avera. If you are the facilitator of that individual that's doing it, then you're in violation possibly of an Isur Doraita of Lifnei Iver Lo Titei Mikshol. Or if the person could have done it without your help or without your coaxing, then you have a different issue, which the Bali Tosafot speak about in a number of places in Chas, which is called Misayeya Ovrei Avera, that you're aiding and abetting someone in doing an Avera, and there may be a restriction, Midrabanan, of Misayeya Ovrei Avera. So there are separate restrictions that are not the Avera itself that apply to someone who encourages or coaxes another individual or abets them in doing an Avera. This happens to be the one Avera where there is an exception. The Gemara will invoke Sukkim to show that that is the case. But by Me'ilah, you can have a Shliach L'Dvar Avera, because if the person unbeknownst to them is doing it or acting on your behalf and on your instructions, that Me'ilah can be associated with the principal and not with the agent. So this will be one of the exceptions in Kol HaTorah Kulah, where you can't actually have the Varei Veira, and we'll bump into that in the Mishnayot later on in the Masechta. The last principle that we need to know is that there is a concept called Ein Me'ilah Achar Me'ilah. You can't do Me'ilah twice on any object. Once you are Mo'el in an object, it's what's called Yotzei L'Chulin. It then becomes Chulin. It's been profane. If you profane the item is no longer Kadosh, and therefore there is Ein Me'ilah Achar Me'ilah. We will see in the Masechta that that's not always true, because in certain instances, like the case of the golden goblet, by which you don't have to depreciate the asset, you don't have to waste the asset, you just have to get enough from it, over there you don't change it, you don't profane it when you utilize it, because it's not, you'd say, the chulin. It has to be something where, for instance, you're taking monies and spending the monies, there that misappropriation will cause the monies to no longer be ekdesh, and you're moel because you profane those monies. But by an item that has a static value, and it's just utilized, then the hana that you get, you can't have me'ilah achar me'ilah. But in general, you should note the general principle that there's a me'ilah achar me'ilah. And if one does violate me'ilah, they have profaned the item, and it is yotzei lechulin. The last thing, which actually we'll bump into today, is that me'ilah is not only me'ilah deoraita. Deoraita means that you violated the Torah restriction against me'ilah. Finish the psukim, see what it is that you're chayav. That we've actually been discussing a little bit previously in the Gemara and Kreitot, because there we discussed the Asham Taloi, the Asham Me'ilot, and so here, this is one of those Ashamot, and that is Nefesh Kimtumo Mal V'Chatavish Kagami Kodshi Hashem, Ve'eri Et Ashamo LaHashem. He has to bring that Asham to Hashem. Ayo Tami Minatzon. He has to bring an Ayo, a ram, Be'erkecha Kesef Shkalim V'Shekel HaKodesh LaHashem. It has to be worth a minimum of Kesef Shkalim, which is 2 shekel. That's what we established already in Kreitot. And that has implications for the other Shemot as well. Veta Sher Chatam Min HaKodesh, that which he mistakenly misappropriated from Hekdesh, Yishalim. He has to replace that. He has to pay it back. And we saw at the end of Kreitot, that means you have to pay back in kind. If you misappropriated Bedek HaBayit, then you have to give monies back to Bedek HaBayit. If you misappropriated something that belongs to the Mizbeach, you have to give back something that belongs to the Mizbeach. Ve'et chamishito yosef alav. In addition, there's a penalty, a fine that goes on top of that, which is a chamishit, a fifth, which in the Gemara is noted as being a fifth milibar, which is the equivalent of a quarter for the way that we do fractions today. One-fifth milibar means that after you add on the extra amount, it is one-fifth of the totality. That means that, for instance, if you had been Moel with 100 shekel, you would have to add on 25. Because then the 25 is now one-fifth of the 125 post the addition. The easiest way to remember that is to simply drop one number on the denominator. So if it's one-fifth, if it's one-fifth, you should just multiply by one-quarter, and you'll get that result. That means basically what today we know is 25, adding 25% to it. So that's the chamishito. Benatano told the kohen, "Vakon chaper alav be'el Hashem v'nislach lo." So that is the din de'oraita of me'ilah, which requires a Hashem me'ilot, requires principal amount to be paid and a chomesh to be added on. That's the me'ilah min haTorah. There is also me'ilah midrabanan, rabbinic me'ilah. Most of that is to keep people and distance them from interacting with Hekdesh because of the risks of interacting with Hekdesh. So we want people to separate themselves away, as well as we don't want people to be in a position whereby they profane Hekdesh midrabanan, because that's going to lead them in the future to treat Hekdesh in a manner that will lead to mi'ilah do'oraita. So sometimes we just want you staying away from Hekdesh. Other times we're trying to prevent the problems that could arise in the future if you mistakenly think that it's okay to get hana'ah from these items. So that is mi'ilah midrabanan. Sometimes it will just say mi'ilah or ma'au, and it'll mean mi'ilah midrabanan, as we'll see today. Other times the Gemara will have a principle which is ein mo'alim velo nehenim. You're not chayav mi'ilah, meaning not midoraita, you're chayav mi'ilah, but ein nehenim, midrabanan, you can't get hana'ah from this item. That's also maybe a code word for adin derabanan, although on occasion there are those mishonim that think that that might even be used at a doraita level. There might be an iser hana'ah, even though there may not be an iser mi'ilah. So that's our introduction to mi'ilah. The last thing we need to know, which is very relevant to today, is how do you get rid of mi'ilah? When does mi'ilah stop being an issue? So the answer to that is obviously when it stops being kodshei Hashem. If it's no longer kodshei Hashem, you can't profane it, you can't misuse it, misappropriate it, therefore there's no longer any mi'ilah. What is that threshold? So it turns out, interesting enough, that it works in two directions. That means if you do everything correctly with the item, it will lose its mi'ilah. Also, on the other side, if something happens to the animal that is so much of a deficit that it actually accomplishes nothing of what you want to do with this hekdesh, that also removes the shame kodshei Hashem, then it will lack mi'ilah. So the example that we'll see today is, if you take a korban, and you perform all the mitzvot that you're supposed to with a korban, once it's nasem mitzvato, is the terminology the Gemara uses, once you complete the mitzvah, there's no mi'ilah. You can't have mi'ilah on an object, shenasem mitzvato, once the mitzvah is completed. So that is the positive way of removing mi'ilah, is that you've accomplished everything that's supposed to be accomplished with this item that was dedicated to kodshei Hashem. Another way to have kodshei Hashem be removed is, for instance, if a korban dies. If the korban dies, then the mi'ilah disappears, not because you did the mitzvah, but because it no longer maintains the status of kodshei Hashem. This item becomes totally useless. You cannot have the mitzvot that were associated with performing it because it died before you carried out those mitzvot. On the other hand, you cannot get benefit from such an item because the item is Isurei Hana'ah, and you're not to be Podeh Kodeshim L'Achilam L'Klavim. You can't redeem Kodeshim in order to feed them to dogs. That would be inappropriate to do that. And since that's the case, the item becomes totally worthless and useless. In that case, it will also lose its shame Kodeshei Hashem, in the sense that there will be no longer any mi'ilah. So there is a window in between the two of those where you have mi'ilah. That means if an item is pasul but didn't die, it will have mi'ilah associated with it because you didn't finish the mitzvah. On the other hand, you didn't take it so far away from its intended purpose that it loses its shame kodshei Hashem. So that's important to keep in mind because that'll be the theme of our Mishnah today, which we will see in the Gemara. Okay, with that we begin the Masechta kodshei kodashim. So again, the Masechta begins with Kodshei Kodashim. We spoke about the fact that that's where the main area of Me'ilah is. Within the Korbanot HaMizbeach, Kodshei Kodashim is where you're going to see the manifestation of Me'ilah, because it has the longest duration, as well as the most areas where Me'ilah applies. There, Shishachtan Bidarom. So here you see what the problem is, or what the Mishnah is trying to do, is to test the limits of Me'ilah, which is here, instead of Shechting Kodshei Kodashim, which you're supposed to do bitzafon, as we know from Ezehu Mekoman, you did it in the Darom. So you did something wrong with the Korban. Mo'alin Bahen. There still is Mi'ilah, which means that the soul is not sufficiently deficient that you've removed the Hekdesh from it and it's no longer subject to Kodshei Hashem. On the other hand, it is problematic enough that the animal is disqualified from going on the Mizbeach. That means basically the problem of Mi'ilah will be permanent. with regards to this hekdesh until it reaches a point of it's no longer the same entity that you had, meaning that it rots, it's burnt, whatever has to be done now to that item that is Isurei Hana'ah, that's hekdesh. But it will retain that status of Mi'ilah despite the misprocessing of it by doing it in the Darom and instead of doing it in the Tzafon. The mission now is going to go through all four forms of Psulim, different things that you could have done wrong, and the Gemara will later say that this is Lozu Afzu, which is not only this item, but also this item. Each one of the items that we're going to bring is a bigger Chiddush. So you would have thought that this item should be subject to Mi'ilah, but the next item you would have thought, no way, is subject to Mi'ilah, and the Mishnah will tell you it still is. The Mishnah is moving in a direction that we noted before, which is, it's such a bad soul that it's the equivalent of dying. And if that's the case, the Mi'ilah disappears, not because you did the mitzvah, but because this is such a significant soul that it makes it that the animal should no longer be subject to Mi'ilah. And that's what the Mishnah is going to do. It's going to move through higher and higher gradations of soul, which would make you think that the animal should not be subject to Mi'ilah. So here we have the first one, which is Shechita B'Darom. So Shachatan B'Darom, B'Kibbel Daman B'Tzafon. So here the case, it's really repeating the first case that we saw, but now it's setting up all the cases here, which is, if he shechted in the Darom, but he did the Kibbel Daman, he did the Kabbalat Dam in the Tzafon, which you would think is the most major aspect of the Korban, is the Dam. So if you did the Kabbalat Dam in the Tzafon, which you did correctly, so there we say there is Mi'ilah. That was the first case in the Mishnah. B'Tzafon, if he shechts it in the Tzafon, B'Kibbel Daman B'Darom, and then you do Kabbalat Dam in the south, then you still have Mi'ilah. The Chiddush here is that even though now you're doing Kabbalat Dam, the Avodat Dam, which is the major aspect of the Korban, you're doing incorrectly, that's still not a big enough soul to take away the Mi'ilah. So in the first case, it was just the Shechita was in the wrong place. Despite being in the wrong place, it still is done in a place where it has relevance for other Korbanot. But now you do the Kibbel Daman, now you're doing the Dam in the wrong place. Maybe that should be significant enough to make it Pasul and no Mi'ilah. Here we tell you, no, there's still Mi'ilah, even though you did the Kibbel Daman B'Darom. Now Tosfot over here tries to explain why the Mishnah started out with the general statement of Kojeg Alashim Shaftan B'Darom, Bolin Ben, and then it seems to repeat it when it says Shaftan B'Darom, the Kibbel Daman B'Tzafon, it's a phone, Kibbel Daman B'Darom. Why does it give the header and then seemingly repeat it? There must be something different about the first statement. So he speculates that maybe it means that the first statement is speaking about where they're both B'Darom. It's a case where he's Shochet B'Darom and Kibbel B'Darom. The problem with that, Tosfot says, is then you have two styles of writing in the Mishnah because it's teaching you the biggest Chiddush first, then it goes to a lesser Chiddush, and then it goes back to a bigger Chiddush, which is, it starts out with everything in the Darom, which is a pretty big Chiddush that it has Mi'ilah. And it says, well, if there's Shechita B'Darom and Kabbalah B'Tzafon, then there also is Mi'ilah, which is something you wouldn't need to say. That's not as big a Chiddush. And then there it goes back to Kabbalah B'Darom, which is a bigger Chiddush. And therefore, it doesn't have any linear type of progression in the Mishnah. And he says that's not a style of the Mishnah. So in the end, he comes back to saying that it's just a header here, this piece in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, Kodshei Kodeshim Sheshachtan B'Darom Malin Behen, and then it's as if it's saying, oh, what does that mean, Sheshachtan B'Darom? That means Shachtan B'Darom B'Kli Daman B'Tzafon. And don't think it means both of them are done in Darom, they're both done in the south, because the Mishnah is not addressing that case. Then you would possibly draw the following conclusions from that. And Ratzot says that's a reasonable conclusion, that if they were both done in the south, there would be no Mi'ilah. That's because you made such a big change to it, it's as if it's Meta now, and therefore it would not have Mi'ilah. Then the Tosfot quotes from the Rabbeinu Peretz that he thinks that that's not right, and he thinks that the way to read the Mishnah is both if you did Shechita and Kabbalah B'Darom, there'd still be Mi'ilah. And the reason it's not mentioned in our Mishnah is, even though it's a bigger Chiddush, is because in general the Mishnayot take on the case where it's one way this way, one way that way, one way this way, one way that way, but it doesn't do the case where they're both that way. So it mentions Shechita B'Tzafon, and then Shechita B'Darom, Kabbalat Dam B'Darom, and then Kabbalat Dam B'Tzafon. It's a stylistic manner, even though it could have mentioned Darom and Darom, it doesn't mention it. Not to tell you that there is no Mi'ilah there, but simply the Mishnah didn't get to it because of that literary style, and it's not so significant that it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Shachat Bayom, V'Zarak B'Laila. You did the Shechita in the day, and the Zrika at night. So here, you began the process of Avodah during the day, and then you did the Zrika Dam at night. Balayla, you shechted at night, vizarak bayom, and you did the zrika during the day. You're not allowed to bring korbanot at night. Nighttime is a period where avodat korbanot is not relevant. It's a time when you can't process korbanot. So again here, if you shechted during the day and then did zrika at night, there you would have thought that maybe it should be disqualified because of the zrika at night. Nevertheless, we say that it is still subject to mi'ilah. And again, if you shech during the night and then you do the zrika during the day, there also it will remain a problem of mi'ilah. So the Mishnah gave us examples. Again, the first example was a case of zub avzo. This one and even this one. And then the second examples in the Mishnah are a case of zov and tzarech lomar zov, because here at night, which is clearly the problematic area, if you do zrika at night, it's more likely to be pasul than it is if you do the zrika during the yom. And the Mishnah gave you both examples, but it gave you zrika at night first and then zrika by yom second. If at night it's still a problem of mi'ilah, then certainly when you do the zrika during the day, it's still going to be a problem of mi'ilah. That's the structure of the Mishnah.
And Tosfos just happens to make an interesting note over here that the first case by Tzafon and Darom, the Mishnah uses the examples of Shechita and Kabbalat Adam. Layom Balaylet uses Shechita and Zrika. And that is because Balei Tosfos will point out that Kabbalat Adam comes immediately after Shechita. So when you're dealing with Makom, where it's the north and the south, you can move between the Shechita over to the Kabbalat Adam in the other location. You could be right on the border and move it over. By Yom Balaylet, where it's very hard to capture that moment where it changes from Yom to Laila, it's much harder to get Shechita on one side of it and Kabbalat Adam on the other side. Therefore, it used two distinct avodot, Shechita and Zrika, which can easily be separated. You could have one during the Yom and one Laila, or vice versa, one during the night and one during the Yom.
Oh, Shushachtan chutz lizmano, michutz limkomon. He has a machshava of bringing the animal outside, processing the animal. That's whether to eat from the korbanot, to do the Zrika Tadam, or put the emurim on the mizbeach outside of the time allotted to do such, or he wants to eat the items or place the items outside of where they're supposed to be eaten or supposed to be placed on the mizbeach, then mo'alin ba'en, there still is mi'ilah. This is otherwise known as pigul. During one of the four major avodot of the processing of the korban, he has a machshava of chutz lizmano or chutz limkamo. Machshavat chutz lizmano is subject to karet. Pigul of chutz limkamo is just pasul, but not chayav karet. It's only a lav. In both of those instances, you are still chayav for mi'ilah as well. So now, the klal, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. So here's the principle. Kol shayala shat heter lekohanim, einum bolimba. If you bring the animal to the point where the kohanim can't eat it, or it's ra'oi for the kohanim, at that point, mi'ilah disappears, because it's no longer kodshei Hashem. It now belongs to the kohanim for however short a period of time. That's enough to remove the mi'ilah. Which is all the examples we just brought before in the Mishnah. These are items that will never reach the point of heter lekohanim because they became pasul before they were processed to the point where they could be mutar the kohanim. Therefore, the mi'ilah remains with them. Give me examples of psulim that had shet heter lekohanim. That is shalono. These are psulim that happened post Zrikat Adam. Post the time that the basar became ra'oi to eat for the kohanim, then it was left over past that time. Or it became tamei. Or it was taken out of the azarav. It's kodshei kodashim. All those are disqualifying events, but the basar had already reached the point where the kohanim could have eaten it, and then got ruined, or the psul happened after that point in time, therefore there's no mi'ilah by these items. What are the examples of items that don't have heter lekohanim? The Mishnah only brings some of the examples from above. It doesn't bring all the items from above. It mentions pigul of chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo as examples. Vishikibelu psulim v'zarku etama. Or psulim did the Kabbalat Adam, and then the Zrikat Adam was either done by the Kohanim, or the Kabbalah was done by the Kohanim, and the Zrika was done by a Zar. These are psulim by which the Basar, or the Korban, never reached the point of Heter LeKohanim, because the psul was too early on in the process to allow for Heter LeKohanim, and therefore the Mi'ilah never dissipates, never leaves these items, and they will remain problems of Mi'ilah. And again, these aren't significant enough problems by which you would say that it is freed of the Mi'ilah just because it's so ruined or it's so bad that you wouldn't have Mi'ilah. Rashi explains why the Mishnah, in giving examples of things that don't have Heter LeKohanim, it only brought a sampling of the items in the first part of the Mishnah. It didn't bring them all. So Rashi explains the reason for that. V'hainu time of the Nakid Hani train. Why did it mention these two of Chutzlis Mano and Chutzlis Mechalot Fei Mikohani more than any of the other items here is the Tana Bereisha D'malin Ben Tani Trei Itish Hadadi Umechad Kra Nafka. Because these two are connected together and they derive from one pasuk in the issue of Pigol and Chutzlis Mano Chutzlim Kamal end up coming out of Sukim that overlap that actually sometimes are Menuhin and Lezeh, Menuhin and Lezeh, since they're Halacha that derives from a single source. He brought them together as a unit. So maybe he was just bringing one of the items, the last item that he mentioned, but he brings them together because they're like a unit halachically, and therefore he brought them together. And then the Kiblu Psulim, which Rashi claims over here were Balei Mumim, although Rashi before brings Kiblu Psulim Zarku et Dama, Rashi brings the explanation for that as being Tmeim, that they are Tamei. And it's talking about a Korban HaYachid, where there's not Hutra Tumah, as opposed to Korban HaTzibur, where there, Tumah is either Duchuya or Huchra, with regards to HaTzibur. So Rashi gives two different explanations as to what the problem is with these Psulim. Are these Psulim Balei Mumim? Are these Psulim Tmeim? But it sounds familiar that both of them are Kohanim, and we're not talking about Zarim. We're not talking about Israelim that are doing it, according to Rashi.
And the Gemara on Daf Hey will discuss what's the Chiddush of bringing this issue of the Psulim over here. Tosfot, on the other hand, says that the Chiddush of the Pigul being brought over here is a differentiated opinion between what the Tanakhama says and what Rabbi Yeshua is saying over here. Where Tosfot suggests that when Rabbi Yeshua brings these cases down, he's coming to say that if there's no Shatet to the Kohanim, there is no release of the Mi'ilah. And therefore, even if you do Shechita b'Pigul and you do the Zrika b'Pigul, there's no removal of the Mi'ilah, as opposed to what we're going to see on Gimel Amud Bet, with this Machloket Amoraim, as to an individual who had Shechita b'Pigul. The question is, then, if you did the Zrika with Pigul, what type of impact does that have on removing the Mi'ilah? And what Tosafot is suggesting here is that the Tanakhama's position is somewhat ambiguous, because it could be that the Tanakhama is only speaking about a case of Shechita b'Pigul without Zrika b'Pigul, and that's why over here the Mi'ilah is not removed. But had he done his Zrikat Pigul, it would have removed the Mi'ilah. And therefore, this statement of Rabbi Yeshua is not just a repetition or a subset or a sample of what we read before from the Tanakhama. Rather, it's a position that he's taking that's differentiated from the Tanakhama, because he thinks Zrikat Pigul does nothing to remove the Mi'ilah, whereas from the Tanakhama, it's unclear, and therefore we're going to have a Machloket Amoraim as to what the Tanakhama's position is on Gimel Amud Bet with something that was Shechitat Pigul, and then afterwards had Zrikat Pigul, because he was only speaking out of a case of Shechita Pigul without the Zrikat Pigul. When you add in Zrikat Pigul, maybe his position is different than that of Rabbi Yeshua. And that's what the Chiddush is of bringing these examples, particularly by Rabbi Yeshua.
Right now the Gemara says, Ktani, Kochei Kodashim, Sheshachtam Bidarom, Ma'alim Bayan. Yiriz Mi'ilah, Pshita, Mishom, Deshchitatan Bidarom, Afkinu Midei Mi'ilah. Just because he did something wrong, the Mi'ilah suddenly disappears. Why would you think Mi'ilah disappears just because you did something wrong? You made them pasul. Where it says, Itzrich. No, you need that. Salkadat kamina. You would have thought, Hoyo v'amar ulam Rabbi Yochanan. We have this memra from Rabbi Yochanan. Kodshim shemeitu yatsu midei mi'ilah dvar Torah. Kodoshim that die, they no longer have a din of mi'ilah mina Torah. Now, obviously, the implications from that are that probably has mi'ilah midorabanan. But at least midoraita, there's no longer any mi'ilah. This is the concept that I mentioned before, is that there are two ways to rid yourself of Mi'ilah. You need to do it properly and process it to the point where you properly have done everything to the Korban. That changes it from Kodshei Hashem to no longer being Kodshei Hashem and no longer having a din of Mi'ilah. Or you can have something so wrong happen to it, the total opposite of what you wanted, and that could also remove the Mi'ilah, and that's the death of the animal. So the question is, where do these items sit? In between those items, or are they similar to those items? And that's what the Gemara says. Hachanami, I would have thought, Kodshei Kodashim, the Gabei Dorom, Kamad Dechankinun Dami, that when you share Kodshei Kodashim in the south, it's the equivalent of choking them. It's the equivalent of them dying, basically, and not being processed as a korban. Kamash Malan, Kodashim Shemetu Lochazu Klau. That's because Kodashim that die have no purpose whatsoever. That's what we discussed before. They're not going on the Mizbeach. They're not going to be processed in Kodeshim. Then they can't be redeemed because you can't redeem Kodeshim lachilam leklavim because they are in Nevela and you can't do anything with them. Aval darom nehi deinu ra'oi lekodshei Kodeshim over ra'oi hu lekodshim kalim. So darom is not ra'oi for kodshei Kodeshim to do the shechita there, but it is ra'oi for kodshim kalim or for other korbanot. Given that, it now does not remove the totality of the kedusha from this item. What you have to know is there is another step over here, which is that once you have something that's psulo b'kodesh, the psul happened in the area of kodesh, that gives it a status of imalu lo yerdu. If it's put on the mizbeach accidentally, or even maybe intentionally, you don't take it off the mizbeach. Once the mizbeach has collate something, even if it's psul, it still stays on the mizbeach. We're going to get to that a little later in our Gemara today. Machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to what the limud is and what items the mizbeach takes in and what they don't take in. The halacha we paskin that it is things that are psulo b'kodesh. As long as the psul has something to do with their being kodesh or in the world of kodesh or in the mikdash, that's where alu lo yerdu. If it goes on the mizbeach, you don't take it off. So here, shechting it in the darom is a psul. And it is like killing it. The only thing is, since darom has relevance within the world of kodeshim, this item is not totally pasul. It has some residual kedusha in it because if you take it now and put it on the mizbeach, it will stay on the mizbeach. And it will become the ochel mizbeach. So that's why it doesn't lose its status of mi'ilah as opposed to when it dies. There it does lose its status of mi'ilah because there's nothing you can do with it. Inim alu yerdu. If they went on the mizbeach, you'd have to take it off because it does not belong on the mizbeach whatsoever. Now the Gemara says, Lamele de mitne kohane. Why do I have to write all the items in the Mishnah? Just give me the principle. Why do I have to give you all these examples? Sriche, you need them. Because itan ha-shachatan b'darom, v'kibal daman b'tzafon. If you're only talking about shechita in the darom, but the kabbalat adam was done in the north, ha-cha de'itba mi'ilah, there it has mi'ilah, mishum de kabbalah b'tzafonu. Because you did the kabbalat adam, which is the major aspect of the processing of the korban, and the kapara is going to come from the dam, that you did in the right place. Aval shachatan b'tzafon, v'kibal daman b'darom. But had it been the opposite way around, which is the second case in our Mishnah, where you did the Shechita in the right place, but the Kabbalat Adam in the wrong place, ho v'kibel b'darom hu nafik mide milah. Because you did the processing of the dam, which is the most important part, you did that in the darom, then maybe it should lose its status of mi'ilah. And that's why it is brought here to teach you that even if the soul is such a great soul that you did the Kabbalat Adam in the darom, it still doesn't lose its status of mi'ilah. So it's using the literary style of zo v'afzo, this item, and even this item as well. Ve'i tanahai, if you only had those items, havamina yomama zmanakrovo. At least all of that was done during the day, which is a time period where you can process korbanot. Aval shachata b'layla, if you shecht it at night, v'zarak b'yom, and you did the zrik in the day. If you shecht it at night, and then do zrika b'yom, layla la zmanakrovo. That's totally pasul. And by the shachar b'layla, ema nafik midei mi'ilah. Because that layla is not even a time period in which it's ra'oi for akrava. I would have thought then maybe that's enough to get rid of the issue of mi'ilah. Ve'itana shachata b'layla. If you only talk about shechita at night, havein ahol v'kibel dama b'yom, since you did the kabbalat adam during the day, itba mi'ilah. That's why there's mi'ilah. Aval shachatan b'yom, if you did the shechita at day, kiki zarak daman b'layla, and then you did the zrika dam at night, Hoyo v'lavz man akrabu, and then, since it's not the time for akraba, and this is the most major part of the korban, which is being done at night, keman dechankinun dami, it should be the equivalent of choking them, or the equivalent of the korban dying, v'lo yitbo mi'ila, they shouldn't have mi'ila, kamash malan, and in all of these cases, that you do have mi'ila. The Gemara is pointing out, is all of this is a tzrichuta to tell you that this is why we need to enumerate all these cases. And as Rashi points out over here, this Tana clearly believes that every item that's written in the Mishnah is significant, and it's not just a literary style of below svirle dezuv interach lemozuk tani. It's not just a literary style, there's significance to it, and that significance is that these psulim are still relevant within the world of Ekdesh, and because Darom is a place that you can shech, and nighttime, according to this, would be lav mechuser zman. Meaning that if it was at night, was totally nothing to do with Kodashim at all, then ain't no chanami. If you shecht it at night or you did the Kabbalat Adam at night, it would be a zero, the equivalent of the animal dying. The fact that we don't say that shows you, and then Rashi points that out, is that laila lav mechusar zmanhu. Nighttime is still considered to be relevant within the world of kodoshim, and therefore when you do some processing, shchita or kibulat daman at night, even though it's posel the korban, it's still psulo b'kodesh, and it's not as if you just killed the animal, and therefore it should have no din of mi'ilah. This Gemara clearly believes that laila is zman kodoshim, or some zman of processing kodoshim, but the way they sheet the mekubet, it says it in the Hashmatot at the end of the Masechta, that it's not literally that laila is lav mechusar zman, but rather laila has some sort of relevance because hoil v'laila ru'uya levarim upidarim. It has relevance in hakrava. It may not be kosher hakrava. It may not even be a lack of mechusar zman. Therefore, it has relevance. And imalu lo yerdu. And that's why this item would retain a certain level of kiddusha. Problem is that this part of the statement does not accord with what's written in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Zarak Balala first and then only Zarak Bayom afterwards. Yet over here he's telling us that the order was Zarak Bayom and then Zarak Balala. Our Mishnah speaks about Shchita B'darom, Kibol Daman B'darom, then it does Zrika at night, and then Zrika Bayom. The Gemara just changed it to Zrika day first and then Zrika night second in order to get all of these to be a bigger Chiddush. So in the Mishnah you have two literary styles there. The first section, which goes from Shchita B'Tzafon to Kibol Daman B'Tzafon, is Lozu Avzo. Not only this, but also this. And then the latter part, where it deals with the nighttime, it does Zrika B'Laila first, and then Zrika B'Yom second. There it's a style of Zov, Ein Tzarich Lomar Zov. Once I knew that Kabbalat Dam at night is still subject to Me'ilah, I certainly would have known that Kabbalat Dam during the day, where Shchita is at night, is still subject to Me'ilah. But the Tana wrote it anyway. He's saying, this is the din, and you don't even have to tell me about this other din. But these are both literary styles that are being used.
And Rashi in the Mishnah is very comfortable with mixing and matching those styles in the Mishnah. Although he makes it clear here that the author of the Braita brought in the Gemara clearly thinks otherwise. And he wanted to keep it consistent in that it was a lozo afzo and not an zov ein tzarich lomar zo.
The Tosafot solves the problem by simply flipping the Girsa and saying the Girsa in the Mishnah should match the Girsa that's in the Gemara. And the Bach solves that problem by saying, L'chein haya gores b'matnitin rak bava achat. He thinks that our Mishnah only had one of the two options in it, which is Shachat Bayom b'zarak b'layla, and not both options in it, and that would then avoid this problem of why is it in a different order in the second part of the Mishnah, and also differentiated in this Braita that we're quoting. He in the end says that that wasn't in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only had one of the two options in our Mishnah, and he's filling in the pieces to get to that by adding in the case of Shachat Balaila and Zrika Bayom. So the Shita Mekubetzet in Ot Lamed Daled actually deals with it in a different way by saying that the Chiddush here is the other way around.
The Girsa in the Mishnah is the same Girsa that we should have in the Gemara, and I can still create its Rechuta.
Perish HaMetnit in Kamosha Perish Lo Zurak Balaila Zarak Balaila Shita Demoalin. You do Zrika at night, it's clear that there's Mi'ilah, because there was never Shat Heter LeKohanim. There was nothing that took it out of the world of Hektesh. Whereas when you did Shchita by night and Zrika by Yom, maybe over there was a Heter LeKohanim. And since there was a Heter LeKohanim, maybe there should be no Mi'ilah. So this is basically going in the other direction, according to the Shita Mekubetzet. The first part of the Braita is telling you the Chiddush of something being so pasul that it should lose its Mi'ilah. Because it went from the Shchita B'Darom to Kabbalat Dam B'Darom. And so the first case, it was only somewhat disqualified. In the next case, it's more disqualified. So that'd be more reason to say there's no Mi'ilah. And then the next case of Zrika Bayom and Zrika Balayla, over there, the first example we said is that there it's more likely to be Mi'ilah because of the fact that there was no Heter LeKohanim. But Zrika Bayom, maybe there was Heter LeKohanim, and then therefore there should be no Mi'ilah. So the first part of the Mishnah is saying that it's so bad, so pasul, it's going from less pasul to more pasul, saying maybe there should be no milah. And in this next line of the Mishnah, it's going from that which is less likely to be kasher to more likely to be kasher. And therefore it's also from the positive side saying that maybe this is so kasher enough that there should be no milah. And it's going upgrading, saying maybe Zrika B'night is not kasher enough, but Zrika B'yom is kasher enough, and maybe that would then eliminate the milah. So that's the way that the Shita Mekubetzet deals with it.
And if you go into the Hashmatot in the back, he actually creates the whole series in the Mishnah as its Rechuta that way, which will help us out in the explanation of the next Gemara as well.
Now, chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkamo l'may chazu. Wait a minute. Why isn't the machshava pigol a disqualifying event because it's the equivalent of killing the animal? It has nothing about it that is considered to be ra'oi for the mizbeach. Where it says, hoyo umiratzin the pigulin. Wait a minute. Pigol has a unique aspect to it, which is the only thing that can be wrong with this korban has to be the pigol, the machshava, the wrong machshava that you had. You have to process the korban as a kosher korban for everything else. If you have any other problem with the korban, there's no pigul over here. It is a principle that we saw in Zvachim, which is karatzat kasher, karatzat pasul. Same way that you process a korban that is kasher, you also have to process a korban that is pasul. And therefore, it has to be karev matirav. The matirim have to be put on the mizbeach as if it is a kosher korban. Since you process it like a kosher korban, that gives it a status that it retains its mi'ilah. Ibailu. Rashi sees the question of the Gemara here as being, pigol should be so far off the reservation that possibly it shouldn't have mi'ilah, because these other items have manifestations, either bekodshim kalim with regards to darom, or he considers laila to be lav mechuser zman. But pigol, according to everyone, is totally pastul, so maybe it should not be subject to mi'ilah. The Kamash Malan is, yes, it is subject to mi'ilah. The Ba'i Tosafot read the question in the opposite direction, which is, by pigol it should be so obvious that it is subject to mi'ilah, because imalu lo yerdu, according to everyone, when it comes to makshevet chutz l'zmano and makshevet chutz l'mkomo. And therefore, he says that you would not even have a havmina to say there is no mi'ilah. So why is it telling us that there is mi'ilah? And the Kamash Malan is that even though the remaining zrikot are done properly in order to establish the pigol, they're not proper enough to remove the mi'ilah from it. And so that's the Kamash Malan, that even though you have good zrikot adam and the rest of the korban is done precisely as the way it should have been done, that's still not enough to remove the shame mi'ilah from it. And that's the chiddush of why it's entered into the Mishnah, to tell you that there is still mi'ilah despite the fact that the rest of it was done b'kashrut. Yalu mahu shiyardu. When it comes to the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah, the mistakes that are made here, if they go on the mizbeach, do they come off? So the question really is, the fact that mi'ilah remains, is that an indication that if it goes on the mizbeach, it has to stay on the mizbeach and it doesn't come off because there's still kodshei Hashem? Or are these still more significant psulim to the point where it won't allow it on the mizbeach, yet it'd still be subject to mi'ilah? So that's the nature of the question. The Gemara, imalu mashu yardu. Rabba amar imalu yardu. Those things that mentioned in the Mishnah, if they go on the mizbeach, they come off. Rabbi Yosef amar imalu lo yardu. If they go up on the mizbeach, they don't come off. And as Tosfos points out, the question here really revolves about the southern issue here, because with regards to pigul, everybody agrees imalu lo yardu, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And if it's laila, that's one of the nafkaminos between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether laila is a psul that imalu lo yardu, imalu yardu. So that's actually a machloka between them. The real question is darom, where neither of them mentioned darom. Question is, what is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's view? Darom is not one of them. But Rabbi Shimon, who gives you a broader principle, is this within the principle or not within the principle? And that's the machloka that we have here between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda loti ba'ilach. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's obvious over here that kuliyama lo pligay. Everybody agrees. Dimalu, yerdu. They go up on mizbech, they come down, because Rabbi Yehuda believes that there are three miutim with regards to the issue imalu, yerdu, and they come to exclude cases of shechitat laila, nishpach adam, or yatsa adam. And all of these are items that transpire before zrikat adam on mizbeach, and therefore even imalu, they are yerdu. And here, the Gemara is extrapolating that to the case of shechitat darom, to tell you that it's also true there, because that's a psul before zrikat adam, and therefore it's obvious, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that imalu, yerdu. Although Tosafot narrows it to the din, that a shechita balayla is psula according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's a kol shekein that shechita b'darom should also be problematic, which assumes that shechita b'darom is more problematic than shechita balayla, which is not at all obvious. Therefore, the Tosfot in Zvachim, Daf Pedalid, claims that Rabbi Yehuda actually has another drosha that actually specifically excludes darom, and that's in consonance with his other shitot that all derive from a miut. Though it seems that the Rambam has the opposite view, which is that Rabbi Yehuda, who has a limit of three items that he's excluding, that if they go on the Mizbeach, they have to come off, means that over here it's clear that for him, they don't have to come off the Mizbeach. That everybody would agree here that Imalu, Lo Yerdu, because it's not one of the three items that was excluded by Rabbi Yehuda, and even Rabbo would agree, Shimalu, Lo Yerdu, because it's not one of the items that's excluded by the Miutim of Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, Ki Pligei Alibi de Rabbi Shimon. The Machloket is according to Rabbi Shimon, who we mentioned before, his Shita, which has to do with Psulo Bakodesh. That if Psul is Bakodesh, then they stay on the Mizbeach. If it's Ein Psulo Bakodesh, then they don't stay on the Mizbeach. So there we have a Machloket. Ki Pligei Alibi de Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosef, Ki Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yosef holds like Rabbi Shimon, that if it's Psulo Bakodesh, goes on the Mizbeach. And you'll say, I'm just consistent in the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabba Amar Lecha, or Rabba obviously thinks otherwise. Rabba says, Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shimon ela benitanim lamata shinatanan lamala. Rabbi Shimon's level or threshold of psul is only the following. In cases where you were supposed to do the processing of the dam on the lower half of the Mizbeach, and instead you put it on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Oh, benitanim lamala shinatanan lamata. Or those items that you're supposed to process the dam on top of the Mizbeach, on the upper half of the Mizbeach, and instead you did it on the lower half of the Mizbeach. So that only when you have a shinui makom that is associated with the dam and the processing of the Mizbeach, olam, the shachtan, the kibidaman, the tzafon, and that's only if you did the shchita and the kabbalat dam in the right place in the tzafon. That's where he says that's a psulo bakodesh that imalu lo yerdu. That's the type of change that we're talking about. But we're not talking about a change, shinui makom, that involves doing the shchita or the kabbalat dam in the wrong place. That's already too big a problem. And such a big problem that we won't allow it on the Mizbeach anymore. Or if it goes on the Mizbeach, you have to take it off the Mizbeach. And that's what Rabbah says over here. That's where Rabbi Shimon says, Imalu, lo yerdu. But, Avahocha, given the Shachatan b'darom, here when you shechem the darom, command the chankinun dami. As if you killed them. If you killed them, then that means they shouldn't be subject to Mi'ilah anymore. In essence, what Rabbah is saying, and that's what the Gemara is now correlating is, that if the psul is so big that it can't go on the Mizbeach, that psul is big enough that it shouldn't have Me'ilah anymore. It's no longer Kodshei Hashem. In order to be Kodshei Hashem, you have to have a possibility of ending up on the Mizbeach. So Rav Yosef is consistent. He says, listen, it goes on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. So if it goes on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down, it's also subject to Me'ilah. That means that our Mishnah makes sense, and that fits into Rabbi Shimon Shita. He didn't bring those examples, but it's the same thing as the examples he brings, which are, you have a psul, Bekodesh. Rabbah says, no. These are such big psulim that Rabbi Shimon would tell you have to take them off the Mizbeach. And the Gemara is about to ask, well, if it's such a big psul, you have to take it off the Mizbeach, then it's no longer roi the Mizbeach, there shouldn't be any Mi'ilah. It's the equivalent of the animal dying. So why should there be any Mi'ilah? So that's what the Gemara says. It's not our Mishnah. Kodshei Kodeshim, Shishachatan B'darom, Mo'alin Bahen. There's Mi'ilah. Bishlam other Rabbi Yosef Necha. Rabbi Yosef makes sense as Mi'ilah because they'd still have a status of Kodshei Hashem, because if they ended up in the Mizbeach, they'd stay on the Mizbeach. Although the Rabbah, Kasho. Rabbah's inconsistent here. He's telling you, you gotta take them off the Mizbeach, they don't stay on the Mizbeach. Yet the Mishnah's telling us there is Mi'ilah. My Mo'alin Ben, Midrabanan. So this is this idea that we mentioned in the introduction, that there is a Mi'ilah, Midrabanan. And Rabbah's claiming that when our Mishnah says Mi'ilah or Mo'el Ben, that is Mi'ilah, Midrabanan. Ma'ika ben do'raita l'drabanan. What's the difference if it's mila do'raita or mila d'rabanan? Do'raita mishamim chomesh. D'rabanan, lo. The difference is, mina Torah, you pay the fifth, the knas. By d'rabanan, you don't pay the knas. Now, the truth is, the easy difference between them is the korban. By do'raita, you're going to bring a korban. D'rabanan, you're not going to bring a korban. You can't bring chulin lazarav just because the rabbanan said it is mila. So that should have been the core difference. Rashi says that the chomesh is a siman for the korban. It says, Mishum de chomesh mipnei el asham maiti. The reason you bring the chomesh is because of the el asham. And by the grabanan, there's no din of an asham. That's why there's no chomesh. As Rashi points out, that the chamishit is connected to the korban. Sukkim say that the chomesh is connected to the bringing of the asham. And therefore, when the Gemara here says, no chomesh, yes chomesh, it's as if it's saying, yes, korban, and no korban. It's only interesting in the context that we just finished up in Kretot, where we said the chomesh has to be associated with the principal amount. So over there, we were telling about the repayment of the chomesh has to be connected to the principal amount, to the keren. And over here, Rashi is noting that the chomesh is connected to the korban, which is interesting. That means that if you have a korban, you'll bring a chomesh. If there's no korban, there's no chomesh. And so therefore, midoraita, there is a chomesh, which is a siman that there's also a korban. And midorabanan, there's no chomesh, which is an indication that there is no korban. Whereas Tosafot just simply says that they could have mentioned the korban, and the chomesh is just an additional. Not only the korban is the difference between them, but also the chomesh is a difference between milah midorabanan and milah doraita, which would seem to then be more akin to what we saw in the Gemara of Kretot, that the chomesh is not necessarily directly correlated with the korban. Umi'ika mi'ila midorabanan. So Gemara takes a step back and says, is there a concept of mi'ila midorabanan? Where'd you get this from? It says, in damar yulam rab yochanan kodoshim shemeitu yatsumi de mi'ilah dvar Torah. As I noted already, when they made that statement, they're making a statement that not just there's no mi'ilah. If you said no mi'ilah, that would mean no mi'ilah whatsoever. The fact that they say there's no mi'ilah min haTorah implies that there is mi'ilah midorabanan. When the animal dies, there's no mi'ilah midoraita, alma midoraita lo it lohon. That they don't have mi'ilah, midorabanan, it's be'on. But midorabanan, they have din mi'ilah. Hachanami, so to in our Mishnah, when it says mi'ilah, it means mi'ilah midorabanan. And even though, as Tosafot points out, we find mi'ilah derabanan all over the place, but what Tosafot's saying is, the Gemara's question here is, do we find mi'ilah derabanan even in situations where people are already naturally bedilim mina? They already separate themselves away from it. Because over here, you're telling me that you're going to have mi'ilah midorabanan in a case of a nevelah where it's ma'os and people are already bedilim mina. Is there such a precedent? And that's what the Gemara brings. Yes, there is, because since these are kodoshim and people are already bedilim mina, maybe you don't need mi'ilah at all. And then maybe there's no such concept as mi'ilah derabanan. Kamash Milan is, yes, we have Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, by who speak about a case of Nivelah, which is Ma'us, and people are Abdiliminate, and yet they still say there's Milah Derabanan. So to over here in our Mishnah, there will be Milah Derabanan, even though people are already Abdiliminate because they are Kodoshim. Lema Tanina Laha De Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Let us say now that our Mishnah is corroborating this statement of Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. Avagav De Tanina Itzriach De Ula. Even though our Mishnah is saying it, and maybe it makes them extraneous, or you would have thought maybe they're just repeating what's in the Mishnah, but that's not the case, because they teach us a bigger Chiddush. In the case of our Mishnah, people will not separate themselves away from the Hekdesh, because they don't see it as being something that is ma'us, something that's disgusting, something that they would keep their distance from. So in order to facilitate people not getting hana'ah from this item and staying away from it, the Rabbanan imposed mi'ilah on the items in our Mishnah. But about kodoshim shemeitu, kodoshim that die that have a double whammy to them. First of all, they're kodoshim that died, and therefore they're no longer useful. But now it's also a nevela. And a nevela, as we know, is ma'us. Ho, b'dile min ho, people are going to stay away from it. Not because of the hektesh, just because it's a nevela, they're going to stay away from it. It's disgusting to them. Hey ma, afilu mi'ilah midrabanan, no. So you would have thought there that even mi'ilah derabanan wasn't necessary. Along comes Ulam Rabbi Yochanan to tell you, kamash malan, that it is still subject to mi'ilah midrabanan. Umeito namitanina. Wait a minute. Also, when the animals die, we have a Mishnah that tells us that you're no longer subject to mi'ilah. So why do we need Ulam Rabbi Yochanan? Rashi's gear section in the Gemara here is vakati my kamash malan to Ula. Again, is Ula really telling us any chiddush? Imishum demeito. If you think that's the chiddush, Anamitanina, that we also already learned from a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Now it's going to bring the Mishnah. Anene mina chatat kishi chaya. Someone gets benefit from a kurban chatat while it's still alive. Lo ma'al achivko. This is something we discussed in the introduction. Over there, when it's alive, it's in a wasting asset. It's a food item. So therefore, the animal, you can only be chayav for mi'ilah if you utilize it in a way that diminishes its value by a pruta's worth. That means if you do something to the animal to injure it and therefore depreciate its value, or if you work it and it becomes weaker because of the work, that's also a benefit of a pruta by which there is a diminishment in the item. Ukashi meita, if the chatat died, then kevin de nene koshu mal. Then once you get any hana from it, mean a minimum of pruta, there you don't need the pagam aspect of it. There you just need hana'ah. Because the asset's already, in a sense, destroyed. It still has kedusha. And then you are ma'al. Now that ma'al, we're assuming, is derabanan, because midoraita, once it dies, there is no din of mi'ilah, as we established already. So we're assuming this is Mi'ila Midrabanan. What's interesting here is the Gemara brought the Mishnah as indicating that it's a duplication of what Ula said, and therefore we don't need Ula. And then, as Rashi notes over here, it flips into a question and it makes it into a kasha on Ula, because even though it does say what Ula says, it limits it to a chatat, and doesn't say by all kodoshim. And therefore, you would have had a sakadat chamina, you would have a chavamina, that chatat, whole Ula kapara kaatya, since it comes from kapara, bedilin mina. People stay away, they keep themselves away from it, and therefore, late mu mi'ila. Therefore, there should be no mi'ila by it. Therefore, you don't need to make mi'ila, because people are naturally averse to interacting with it or dealing with it. Here, they would stay away anyway, and therefore you don't need mi'ila midrabanan. You can see in the Argot Haba, Chot Aleph, where he says that, Sagadat chamina chatat hol chapara ka'atya, bedile minhom. People stay away from it, late mu mi'ila. And that's why you don't need to have any mi'ila midrabanan. That's what the Kamash Malana is, that even there you need Mi'ila Midrabanan, even though you would have thought otherwise. But by a regular Kodoshim, where people are not Bidilei Minon, there is obvious that there is Mi'ila Midrabanan, and that's why the Mishnah specified Chatat, not to the exclusion of other Kodoshim, but to teach you that even Chatat has a Din of Mi'ila Midrabanan, even though people are Bidilei Minon. That's Rashi's Girso, and the explanation of the Gemara according to Rashi. If you look in their Beinu Gershom and the Shittim Mekubetzet Od Aleph, there was a different girsa in the Gemara, and they explained the Gemara based on that girsa, which is the Shittim Mekubetz, it says, Nis Chatat, that is a Balat Mum, Haweo Velo Chazi Lechapara, Lo Bedinel Mina. Since it's not Ra'ui Lechapara, people are not separated away from it. But, Kodshim Tmimim, if you have regular Kodoshim, which are Tmimim, there, Haweo Vechazi Lechapara, since they're already Ra'ui Lechapara, Ubedili Minhon, Emalo. You want to need it, Kamash Malan. So the way that the girsa of the Shittim Mekubetz, and you can see him a similar girsa at the top of the Rebbeinu Gershom on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara is continuing with its thought. The normal way that a Gemara uses the word Tanina, which is Tanina Had the Tanu Rabbanan, means it's not coming to ask a question on the person who said it. It's coming to tell you that we have a Tanaic source that supports the contention of that individual. It's corroborating for us, saying that that which we have, Midrabbanan, is also found in a Tanaic work. And therefore, you don't have to come up with a Chiddush. Now, sometimes the Gemara will say, well, it wasn't obvious out of Tanaic work, and that's what the Gemara is going to teach you, to read that Tanaic work in that fashion. Over here, the Gemara seems to be saying that Tanina Lahad the Tanu Rabbanan is not saying this is a corroboration, but rather it's a duplication. And if it's a duplication, then you don't need the Amora statement once you know that from the Tanaic work. Tanina means we already have it, and therefore, why is Ula stating something that we already can derive from the Mishnah? Over here, the Gemara seems to be asking, why did Ula and Amar Yochanan say this if the Mishnah already said it? So the first thing they said is, well, you would have thought that by the case in our Mishnah, where they are not Bedile Me'on, that's where they have Mi'ila Midrabanan. But by Meita, which is Ma'us, and people are Bedile Me'on, maybe there you wouldn't have Mi'ila Midrabanan. That's what Ula and Rabbi Yochanan come to teach you, that there still is Mi'ila Midrabanan. But that means now when we ask the next question, we're also indicating again that there seems to be that the Mishnah is saying the exact same thing that Ula is saying. If that's the case, what's the Chiddush of Ula? And then according to the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita Mekubetz said Girso, then the Gemara continues to show how Ula is a Chiddush despite that Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a Chatat Balat Mum. Well, since while it was alive, now that it was a Chatat Balat Mum, it's Lo Lechaparahu Lo Bidile Mino. People are not separated away from it. And therefore, you needed to have a takana, or an institution of Mi'ila Derabanan, to keep people away from it after it dies. On the other hand, regular Kodeshim, Kodeshim Tmimim, Shemei Tuhol, B'chazi Lekapara, since they originally were Ra'oi Lekapara, Ubedile Minayu. People stay away from them, those items. When it deals with Kapara, they don't want to mess with it, they don't want to ruin it, so they stay far away. So then maybe at death, they also would stay far away, you wouldn't have to be goes there, or maybe Metakein, Mi'ila Midrabanan. The Kamash Malan is, even in that instance, we still are gozer mi'ila midrabanan, and that's the chiddush of Ula Rabbi Yochanan that the Mishnah doesn't cover. The Mishnah only gives the case of chatat, and you would have thought chatat is not extrapolable to other kodoshim, because there was a chatat balat mum, and it was disqualified from kapara. That's why over there, people were not bedile minhon, and that's why you needed mi'ila midrabanan by other kodoshim, where you are bedile minhon, because they are coming from kapara when they're tmimim. Maybe over there you wouldn't need a din of mi'ila midrabanan, Along comes Ulam and Rabbi Yochanan, Kamash Malan, you still need Me'ilah Midrabanan over there, and extend the principle of the Mishnah, not only to a Katat Balmu, but to any Kodashim, it is true. And that's the Chiddush of Amar Ulam and Rabbi Yochanan. But the Los Mishonim is explaining to us why the Chiddush of Ulam and Rabbi Yochanan is something beyond what the Mishnah teaches us. Rashi does an about face in the middle and says, after the Gemara asked, isn't Ulam necessary, comes along and says, wait, not only is the Mishnah not a duplication of what Ula is saying, but actually says something that different than Ula. He's now saying that it's limited to a Khatat and doesn't apply to other Kodashim. And now we have to answer why Ula can extend it, even though the Mishnah is saying the same thing. So Rashi, here is reading Tanina more along the normal lines, which is the Mishnah should corroborate what Ula says, and that doesn't undermine the fact that he said something that's in the Mishnah, because he's helping us to understand the Mishnah, or maybe they got the Mishnah, but the question now is, how did he get there if the Mishnah limits it to Khatat, and he's saying it applies to all Kodoshim? And the answer is, because there's a Chiddush that the Mishnah is trying to bring that is not applicable by other Kodoshim, and that's why it only mentioned Khatat, not to tell you to the exclusion of other Kodoshim, but just to emphasize that even Khatat has this din of Mi'ilah Midrabanan. Okay, we're going to stop here, four lines down on the top of Gimel Amad Aleph.